twisting our hopes for the show. Bringing you Bigfoot News, yo-yo. Oh, yeah. Watching in the woods, catching all the food. Oh, yeah. Digging deep to bring you all the news. From sightings to footprints, it's all in the light. Stay tuned to Squatchy, it's out of sight.
And good evening, cyberspace. Welcome to the Bigfoot News for today's date, March 8th, 2024. I'm your host, your guide, Squatch Detective Steve Coles, along with my co-host, Mr. Chris Steve. Bennett. Hello, Chris.
Good to see you, Steve. Man, I tell you, I hope you guys are staying a lot drier than what we are. We've been having rain off and on all week down here.
Well, today was a day we didn't have rain. We had a lot of sun, but we're supposed to get more rain tomorrow. So is what it is. And, I'm glad to be here too. Yeah. I done got run over by a tractor trailer not once but twice Monday.
Oh no! Yeah, that's not very healthy. Yeah, usually that doesn't end well.
Nope. That's why my neck. If some people notice me go like this or anything during the show tonight, it's because, well, I have a little bit of whiplash from getting smacked around, but we're working through it, and. Yeah, luckily the whip didn't get cracked up too badly. It does have some bumper damage. All cosmetic looking, it appears to be. And, so we got the, I wasn't at fault. I was at a complete stop. Guy stopped right on a U.S. route.
Yeah.
Stopped because he missed his turn. I'm driving down the road. I stop about 20 feet behind him. All of a sudden, he kicks it in reverse, starts to back up. Doesn't look, doesn't check. Boom. Hits me once. I roll back. Boom. Hits me again.
Oh, no.
And finally, he realized after, me leaning on the horn that, hey, somebody's behind him.
Hey, there's a car back there that's probably flat now. Oh, man. That's bad. It must have been a new driver, probably. Not an old.
Actually, kid. He was. He'd only been driving for 2 months.
Yeah. Well, that happens when these guys first start driving. They don't have as much experience, and they're not as wary as the older drivers, Hey, people make mistakes. It's a good thing nobody was
killed. Yeah. And it wasn't like he was trying to hide anything. He admitted to the officer, I backed up. I didn't see him behind me. My fault. And, the cop did give him a break and not ticket him because he's such a new CDL driver. Because they probably would have yanked his license if they did.
Yeah, that's not too good. Your company doesn't really like that when you're a brand new driver and you go out and go wreck up something. They don't like that.
Right. And Lord knows if he's still working for the company as well.
Yeah.
Because they may have fired him after that. But
Probably not. Probably not. No, not the first time.
I don't know. He was really worried. He was like, I'm in trouble. Yeah, you are, because you're just cost your insurance rates to go up a little bit, I suppose.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I don't miss about driving the truck. I mean, it is kind of a extra responsibility, and you got to kind of like be paranoid all the time.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of stress. But it's fun. I mean, I love seeing the country, drive all over the United States. I love that.
Fun occupation. Yeah, fun occupation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little tough on the old hemorrhoids, though.
It could be, I guess, if you got them.
That's true. It's true. Oh, my God. It's tearing the ass out of me.
We got to do roll call.
We sure do. That's why I got it all propped up and ready to go.
I'm scrolling.
Roll call time. Okay, first in today was Walter Kroll.
Walter.
With TJI Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Sir. Lester made it in at number two this time. That's a step up.
Good to see you, Lester.
And, of course, we want to thank Lester for
gifting
10 Squatch D memberships. Thank you so much.
You are a saint and a patron. We appreciate you, Lester.
That's right. Well, he does pay. He is one of our patrons as he's a member of the network. So sure that kind is. Of would make him a patron saint.
And a saint, yes.
Sure so, is. And who else? We got Sharon, who told us to have a good show.
Thank you.
Grasshopper is in the house. Hello, Alan. Grass.
Good to see you, man.
Don Gumout Jr., good to see you, Don.
Don?
Okay. Mitch Hargrove, good to see you, brother. Pete H., all members of the channel now. Little Kilroy was here. Good to see you, Little Kilroy. Walter Kroll.
Walter.
Ristel is in the house. Ristel, welcome, good evening. Ristel. Thank you for all you do. Who else? Martin Stilts.
Lawrence,
I'm an academic. Good to see you. Bron Age John. Hello, Mr. J. Hello, JC. Good to see you. Angel Nolan in the house as well.
You.
And hey, we got YouTube user, whoever that may be.
Oh, good to see you.
Arthur Watch. Jen. Hello, hello.
Hey, Jen.
Conley is in the house as well.
Tom Conley. All right.
Said he still can't find the swing line. By the way, Mick is in the house.
Mick.
Pat Fisher in the house. Hello, Pat. Good to see you again. Tennessee Cherokee. Good to see you.
Tennessee Cherokee. Welcome.
Arthur Watch. I think we said Arthur's in here, but Arthur Watch is in.
Oh, again, Arthur.
Hey, Bob Hip, Riff Raps, RC.
Riff Raps.
Hello, hello. Right.
Hello, Bob.
Gary Johnson Jr., or Gary Johnson Sr., I'm sorry, is in the house. Hang Gary? On, I got to move.
Good to see you.
So I got to learn not to crank my neck into a thing. Kaiju Ninja 1985.
Ninja, welcome.
He said, was there a house, my driving bumper sticker on the back? Truly, all I saw was an H right here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, the tackle technician. Good to see you, sir. And just to let you know, I did get your Facebook friend request approved and through. So you're on board. And it's good to see y'all. Good and, day. Of course, now's the time where we do the Bigfoot news.
All right.
So this week I'm up first.
Oh, okay.
And we are talking about the Bigfoot print found in UK, the alleged Bigfoot print. This comes from the local newspaper news source, Coventry Live, said a walking group of Brits were left gobsmacked. Oh, there's an English term, gobsmacked, after stumbling upon what they believe could be a Bigfoot's footprints. The massive prints, which were found size 16 or larger, were found near a coastal path in the southwest of England. Ziggy Austin, a teacher, was leading the coasteering group, first noted the huge tracks on Saturday, March 2nd, in Torquay, Devon. Ziggy and his rock-solid coasteering group were exploring the woods at Watcombe when they came across these mysterious footprints. Ziggy shared, we were walking on one of the paths that comes through the woods that joins the southwest coastal path. Then suddenly someone starts pointing down at the mud. We all just said, oh my gosh, that is weird. It then went all quiet with us looking at each other, thinking what's going on. And just starting down at the, just, I think they meant today, just staring down at these footprints.
Yeah,
I went back to see where they began and ended. They seem to come out of the woods, go along the path for 20 meters. That's about 60 feet, folks. And then go back into the woods again. There was a whole track of prints. Each print was perfect, like the one in the photo. These tracks did not look like they were fake. You could see where the weight had been distributed. As a science teacher, I have to go on evidence, then come to a conclusion. Either someone with big feet were strolling barefoot through the woods, or they belong to something a bit more exciting, a potential Bigfoot.
Very cool.
Well, here is the very interesting thing I find with the prints. Now, a lot of people say, well, England's an island, but at one point, England was not an island. It was actually part of, you know, mainland Europe, and when all the continents were scrunched together. So it's not a volcanic island like Hawaii, which there are really no legitimate Bigfoot sightings. So, but that being said, in looking at this photo, this is my interpretation based on one photo. I would have loved to have seen the trackway where we can kind of gauge things like, I mean, this guy's a science teacher. He should have taken measurements. He should have, you know, measured the strides, but that wasn't done.
Need something for scale in the pic.
Something, yeah. Right. Even though he says, You know, this is a size 16, but then again, that's 16 UK version, not 16 English version. I think maybe you're looking at maybe a size 14 in the US. That's just my assumption.
A ruler would be helpful. A drink bottle, anything, just something, a quarter, or well, I don't guess they have a quarter over there, but they could put down a 25 pence coin or something.
So Mick goes for the LBL defense, saying, honestly, I'm extremely skeptical that a Sasquatch type of creature exists in England. There's not a square inch that hasn't been walked in by mankind. Well, that may be true, but you know what? Let's say I have a 500 acre plot of land. I walk in, the Sasquatch moves out. I go away, Sasquatch moves back in. Yeah. So is it possible they could do that? Sure.
Well, we don't know. You know, I mean, there's this track here. It looks there were some issues with it. Mm-hmm.
So some of those things are the narrow toes, especially when you look at the third, fourth, and fifth digit. Very narrow toes, not indicative of a real Sasquatch print. And the other thing is the footprint looks to me like it has an arch. So that being said, having an arch like that, you know, obviously it had it been a full footprint. That area that's kind of clumped up is not, should have been flattened down like the rest of the print. Okay. Well, Mick, yeah. Okay. So 16. So actually, Mick says he's a size 16 feet in UK measurements. That's only size 15. Okay. Gotcha. So it's actually larger. It's the other way. Like I said, I would just.
Have you been jogging out over there in the UK? Come on, man. Fess up. that's somebody with big feet, though. That's for sure.
Yeah. But not wide feet. Mm-mm. And one would expect, like I said, the missing arch.
Right.
And even if you look at that print now, you can see there is a lot of pressure on the upper part of the foot where the ball of the foot is.
Sure.
Where if this was a Sasquatch print, we would expect that pressure to be more midline of the foot.
It would be more uniform along the back and the front of the track. And right there, you can see the heel bone right there.
Yeah, exactly.
That impression.
Where it had stepped down, correct. Right. Yeah. And that is a very narrow heel as compared to the rest of the print.
Agreed. Oh, I don't think they necessarily got a Sasquatch track here. But I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but that looks awful human to me.
Yep. And I would love to, Jeff, but we do want to keep this opportunity we have here ad-free and not get dinged by YouTube saying that we are talking about kind of explicit natured stuff, therefore we can't monetize, and then I lose because I self-rate my videos before, and that will put me lower down. So, so in the future, if I continue to do shows that I don't rate correctly, they will rate them for me, and it will take longer for them to either be uploaded or to be monetized.
Kaiju Ninja is on to something here, too. He says, I do find it funny they mention a trackway and don't show it.
Well, I do agree. Very coincidentally, I was actually on a podcast that's going to air in the UK. Mm-hmm. And during the show, the host received text about these prints. So maybe, just maybe, David will have some more information for us in the future. Right now, this seems to be...
But it was an interesting article, though, and I think it would be one that our friends over in the UK would be interested in.
Right.
And I'm not certain that we have a genuine article here. It does look a little bit human to me, but
hey, I don't necessarily think the group itself did that. Mm-hmm. Could the teacher be doing that? Well, I don't know, because it kind of makes him look, because he was so open-ended about it.
Well, I don't know in the UK, but in the US there are clubs of guys that do backwoods running, and they jog through the woods, and they have these shoes or kind of sock type shoes that they pull over their feet, and it lets their individual toes have a each sec. It looks like a foot, okay? And that's larger than their foot. So I think maybe we could be looking at something like that here, maybe.
Mick's talking about Mick's defending himself, saying, I wouldn't say it's the LBL defense. No, but you know what? It just sounded funny the time I looked at it and I said it.
Well, I tell you what, they do have a lot of space over there in the UK, and you know, at one time, I mean, we've had ice ages. What about 10,000 years ago was the last one, and you know, when the water's frozen and hard, I guess things can walk back and forth on it. But you know, I would love to do some Bigfoot searching in the UK, you know, just for the heck of it. But I think we got to solve this one here in the US first.
Well. A wink and a nod, and I may have that opportunity next year. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But getting back to our main premise, is it possible? Sure, I guess it's possible. Is it likely? I don't know. We'll see. No. That would be the person who used the LBL defense. That would be Johnny.
Oh, no.
That would be okay. Johnny.
Next article. I don't want to talk about that. Let's just next article.
Okay. Exists turns 10 years. Chris, this is all you.
Yes. Thank God. I love this one. That movie Exists. I love that scene. Okay. Exists, Blair Witch Project director, unleashed one of the best Bigfoot horror movies 10 years ago. And I agree with that. If you haven't seen it, Exists, you got to watch it. And nothing to do with Bigfoot research, though, but it's a good, scary movie. The beginning of Exists echoes those many other horror films set in the deep woods. Hapless folks encounter an unusual threat, likely after trespassing or offending the locals. And as the well-used formula commands, the characters then die in a gruesome fashion. Eduardo Sanchez's 2014 film is, admittedly, derivative of most body count horrors with rule backdrops, yet it contains at least one novelty to set it apart, Bigfoot. Hardly 5 minutes into the film, and the young cast hit something on the road as they assess the damage to their car and figure out what they struck, the characters get the sinking feeling that they are being watched from the nearby woods. Someone finally states the obvious. That wasn't no deer, bro. On average, found footage horror films delay their strangeness in an effort to establish a semblance of normalcy, make everything hyper-normal and deliberately tedious so that the bizarre bits are more persuasive. Exists, however, takes a few shortcuts. The requisite videographer of the group, Brian Chris Osborne, the actor, even shows the story's imminent danger to his brother, Samuel Davis. Their friends, Dora Madison Burge, Roger Edwards, Denise Williamson, and the viewers. This handheld camera captured a glimpse of the hairy hominid in question walking upright and alongside the road that fateful night. Other filmmakers would steer away from revealing Bigfoot so early on and blatantly, yet knowing the beast is indeed on the prowl does not diminish the overall effect. The audience now simply waits for the inevitable to happen. Now, that's the thing that I liked about this movie, Steve. You get to see a quick flash of the creature really early on.
Yep.
And from the rest of the time, you know, while you're watching the actors, you know, do their part, when they're outside, your eyes are constantly looking in the background. Is Bigfoot back there? What is he going to tell?
You know,
I love that.
As a remembrance of this, perhaps I will see if I can reach out and get Eduardo on the show, the director, Eduardo Sanchez.
That would be great.
I've actually had him slated a way back when, but
yeah.
Those were in the years where we had to take time off from shows because of things and. So I never did follow up, but I will follow up with him this time and see if we can't get him on the show at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Exist remains really one of my favorite, the creepiest And probably most authentic part of that movie was when the guy was trying to escape it on the bicycle. And he's pedaling like a mofo going through the trail. And meanwhile, here's this thing just running, keeping up with him.
Right.
Showing the speed of the creature, which is him.
Yeah.
I thought that was phenomenal. That was a unique take on that. And in case you're wondering, not only has Eduardo did the Blair Witch Project, which was huge for when it first came out. Yeah. And, you know, the Blair Witch is what we believe that our good buddy Todd Standing based his original material on, was trying to get a viral buzz to make a this little mini film.
Found footage film.
You know, exists has a very, how should I say it, sad but happy ending. And, you know, happy that I'm, you know.
Don't want to put out any spoilers or anything for anybody that hasn't seen it. But if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's, if you like, you know, a good Bigfoot, and there's nothing to do with research in this movie. Right. It's nothing.
But some of the stuff, the research findings,
yes,
and those type of things are used in the movie. Things like hearing calls and tree knocks and, you know, the creature the speed, the smell, the all of that is all intertwined into this. Right. So, yeah, you got a minute, you watch it. It's very entertaining. And, I hate to see Bigfoot portrayed as a monster, but it's a monster and a killer in this instance because of something that had occurred.
Reasons.
It wasn't just a natural killer.
Yeah.
So, and the
that article is a lot longer, Steve, but I don't think we need to go any further on that.
The what I like is the creature is probably, I won't say it's authentic, but it looks like one of the better versions we have seen. And if anybody has seen Eduardo's work, he also made a movie called Altered, which is a UFO abduction movie. And three guys are planning revenge on the aliens that had abducted them, and they try to find them. And that in of itself is a great movie to watch, too. So I've seen that.
Write that down. I don't think I've seen that yet. Oh, I did watch that one. About the I can't remember the name. I had it written down, but it was the butterfly guy that went camping, hiking over the mountains to categorize butterflies, new species.
Oh yes,
I did see that, and it was good. It was good. It's not like you know, you never get to see the stuff, but
I don't know if Exist was extremely gory. I don't think it was gory. It was very. Eduardo uses a lot of inference that things happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, is it gory? No. Is it shocking at point times? Yes. But it's not gory by any means. It's not like Bigfoot's ripping the intestines out of somebody. No, or anything like
I don't know
that.
What the rating is. I think it's probably like a PG-13. I don't think it's anything worse than that.
Well, let's find out.
Yeah, I'm looking to see what's up. Dang it, the article doesn't show the rating.
Ooh. Well, it was rated R.
Oh, was it? Correct. Maybe because of the boyfriend girlfriend scene, maybe.
That, and not to mention, it does, you know, it does show the body pile at one point in time. So, and Willow Creek, another great movie. Thank you, Ristel. That was another great movie directed by Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, and Bob's a Bigfoot fan. I mean, he's a I don't know if he's a believer or he's just interested in the phenomena, but he's a big
fan. Well, obviously he embraces a lot of these stories. You know, he's very well researched on them.
Yeah.
And puts them to film in a low budget way, but yet it's his filmmaking ability that makes these movies creepy, not money, not CGI, not digital animation. It's all his own working. So
you can make, if you've got the imagination and you've got the vision, you can make a film that doesn't that still can be shocking and intimidating and scary without multi-million dollars for special effects and stuff.
Right.
And you know, what better movie to make than one from a Bigfoot movie? You can do that in the woods.
Right.
You know, no exotic locations. Well,
and I liked it that he quickly got you interested in the characters that were in the movie.
Yeah.
He set the scene up and slowly eased you into the mystery. And
it says a lot. I mean, if somebody makes a movie that they've, if you know how to tell a story with the picture, it's wonderful. And I've always respected that, you know, that's why every now and then you see something comes out, well, especially out of Hollywood, every now and then something comes out that's really good.
Yep.
But 99% of the stuff is like, you know, where's the original ideas? You know, they're gone.
I thought Blair Witch was a marvelous movie for the time. I know a lot of people, found footage movies. Yeah. Well, that was the first ever done, really.
Yeah.
And it was done by setting up this foul website to gain interest into it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people came into it believing this was going to be a real thing that happened. And it certainly did look real from a lot of aspects.
Remember?
No gore,
My cousin had went to the theater to see that movie. And he had came to my house visiting. He was telling me about it. And he was just like, odd. He's like, it's really happy. Of course, you know, they set it all up to where they had it believable that these actors had really disappeared.
Yeah, the actors were actually in character on the website and had profiles and everything like that. So
it was pretty cool.
Oh, look who just snuck in. We have Mr. Lee3PO and Jay Fritz.
Lee3PO and Jay.
You guys got out of the bar late, didn't you?
Well, welcome anyway. We got you.
And while we're on getting ready to go for our third story of the night, which is usually the half point of the show, I just want to reach out to all our podcast listeners that are actually listening to the show. If you're interested in seeing some of the graphics and some of the photos that we show, just pop on over to the channel. You can get there three ways, youtube.com/@SquatchDTV. SquatchDTV.com or SquatchDetective.tv. So there's a three ways you can get to this channel to look at the pictures and hear the replay on video or see the actual video as it happens. But for those that are listening on podcasts, we're glad to have you here. And for all our new subscribers, we're glad to have you here too. The subscriptions have been going crazy.
We appreciate you.
And of course, thank you again, Lester, for gifting 10 memberships.
Yeah,
we are going to be gifting 10 more this coming Sunday as well. So we had forgot. We forgot that we had such a good guest last week. We forgot to do it this week. So we got to do it this week. Absolutely. And if you're really interested in it, I know 10 people got a free look at the member section. Enjoy it. If you like it, stay with us, because you're just getting a tip of the iceberg, which yet to come. It's getting to be nice weather. That means I'm going to be out filming more. So
big things coming.
So actually, Tackle Technician asks a question, not necessarily based on this. With the increased Bigfoot shows, movies, and seminars, do you find witnesses coming forward more easy? Yes. Every time I go to and thank you, Don.
Don. Oh. God, Donald, man. Oh my God, you guys are crazy. I love you.
Wow.
I can't believe this.
So
I appreciate it, man.
I love super stickers and I love the other stuff. I appreciate those as well. But when you gift memberships to people, it gives them the chance to stay. They see what they like, they stay. So thank you, Don. Thank you, Lester.
You guys, we appreciate you. I mean,
I'm doing that as stiffly as possible because my neck is kind of, and no, I'm not the type that's going to go after the trucking company or the trucker because my neck hurts. It is what it is.
You guys are great. And, you know, me and Steve, we talk about you guys all the time. You know,
we do.
We got the greatest audience in Bigfooting shows ever. And we're so, you know, I know I keep saying that, but I mean it. I'm proud of you guys. And I'm so honored to have you, that you would spend your time hanging out with us.
And your money on us to help produce some of these. Yes, Mr. Jeff, I had gotten, I don't know if you missed it, but at the beginning of the show, I talked about getting hit backed into not once, but twice by a tractor trailer that decided he missed this turn. He was going to stop on me on the U.S. Route 4. And now Jay just did it. You guys are too much.
You guys are too much. I can't take this. You got Jay. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Jay. You guys are crazy. I love you. I can't believe this. I cannot believe this, Steve.
Yeah, well, you know, and you're right, because you ignored a concussion whiplash. I didn't have a concussion. I didn't really hit. And the force of it wasn't. And now tackle technician did it.
The tackle tactician. I know it's got to be a fisherman. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, like, Pat. Appreciate you.
Holy. Oh, so that's 20 new members we got lurking around. Why?
I just can't believe it.
Yeah. Amazing. And there's Crystal with the muscly arms.
Yeah. Definitely tonight was a power up on the channel. I mean, you guys.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys. I can't believe it.
No. I just stopped. Apparently he missed his turn. He decided to stop. Didn't bother looking in his rearview mirror. Or wasn't looking, and then he just started backing up, and I'm like leaning on the horn. I'm 20 feet behind you, mind you. So he starts backing off relatively fast. I go scramble to get the dialer knob on there, and boom, he hits me. And I put the car into neutral, and it rolled back. And then as I'm rolling back, he hit me once more, and then he came to a stop, and then I stopped. And
he just evidently he didn't see you at all.
No. Yeah. So. Oh, is what it is. I mean,
I hate that for the little Bronco. I hate it for you too.
Yeah, little Bronco still runs like a champ. It's the alignment isn't even damaged. I checked the alignment already, and it's just like superficial scratches on a little bit of cracking on a couple of pieces in small places. Is what it is. You know, that's you know, they're gonna pay. Obviously, I'm sure their insurance is gonna pay for my damage. So
they'll fix you back up.
They better.
That's a nice thing.
Yep, they better. Holy tamales, 20 new members.
Tactician, man, I can't believe it. Thank you so much.
We got 25 new members tonight.
You guys are great.
Wandering on there. And, you know, and like I said, folks, if you get that free month and you like it, stick with it. It'll be worth it.
But, yeah, as it warms up, we're good. Steve's getting back out, and old Crisco's getting back out too.
Yep.
Got some plans coming up and some things going on here locally in Kentucky. Wow. I just can't believe it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, we got Lester, and we got Don, and then we got Jay, and then we got the tackle technician who's brand new to the channel, really. So I'm glad to have him here, and apparently, and I'm glad that you like our content that you would do that. So I appreciate that so much. Chris, we got to get on to the next story.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the next story, let me do this. There we are. And I know there's a lot of writing, but this comes from NPR about a book called The Secret History of Bigfoot. The premise sounds very interesting. Mm-hmm. When I heard John, and this is written from NPR, but when I heard John, it's a review, when I heard John O'Connor's The Secret History of Bigfoot, Field Notes on a North American Monster was coming, I knew I had to read it. My expectations were somewhat close to Exosphere. Unfair, I know. But O'Connor surpassed all of them. If you're looking for a book that proves the existence of the book of Bigfoot, look elsewhere. If you want a book that's all about discrediting evidence and making those who believe in Bigfoot look like mumbling fools wearing tinfoil hats, also look elsewhere. The secret history of Bigfoot is a smart, engaging, incredibly informative, hilarious, and wonderfully immersive journey, not only into the history of Bigfoot in North America and the culture around it, but also a deep, honest, heartfelt look at the people who obsess about the meaning of the myth's lingering appeal and the psychology behind it. O'Connor is a journalist and a self-diagnosed skeptic, is fascinated by Bigfoot, so he spent a year traveling around the country, talking to those who live for Sasquatch and tracking Bigfoot in the untamed terrain of the Pacific Northwest. The book would have been interesting if O'Connor merely transcribed his interviews with those looking for Bigfoot, but his research and interviews also include psychologists and scientists, and he delves deep into everything from history and philosophy to politics and the flawed nature of memory. I don't necessarily like that. The result is one of the most compelling nonfiction books you'll read this year. There are two elements that make this a fantastic book. First, O'Connor's voice. As knowledgeable as he is, funny, and as well-read as he is, self-deprecating, O'Connor quickly turns into the perfect narrator for this adventure. His quest for understanding is powerful, and he presents every person in this book with the same gravitas. Yes, this is a hilarious narrative, but also a very serious and enlightening one, in which O'Connor prefers to make fun of himself instead of making fun of others, except those folks who are convinced the election was stolen. Of course, you know, there's NPR's political dig. The second element is the breadth of and scope of this book. This is about Bigfoot, about its history and the people trying to find him. But O'Connor somehow manages to take the discussion into unexpected places without ever straying far from the creature at the core of the narrative. Occam's razor, Heisenberg's uncertain principle, the effects of unreliable witness accounts, and racism in our legal system. I don't know where racism falls into this. Thank you again, PDH.
The NPR, you know, they threw in a few little political,
We
don't do politics here though. Right. Never have, never will.
Right. Occam's razor, the unreliable witnesses, racism, illegal pseudoscience and its appeal, the magnetic tug of hidden things, and the considerable gap between perception and reality are all part of this book. It's very interesting that he is commenting so much as a journalist on psychology. I'll explain later. So are Fernando Pessoa, Henry David Thoreau, M.C. Escher, Joseph Campbell, The Appalachian Trail, the movies Harry and the Hendersons, and Predator, Immanuel Kant, Martin Heidegger, and Dr. Jeff Meldrum, a full professor of anatomy and anthropology at Idaho State University, who was always the voice of reason in many of those documentaries I used to watch. And there's only a few of the people, cultural products, and ideas in the book. O'Connor is brilliant in an engaging way. You'll learn things reading this book, but you'll never feel like he's trying to teach you something or preaching about his own beliefs. Okay.
No, he's a Kantian. So that's where he's going to get off on the philosophy. I kind of think I remember this guy. I don't know that there were some guys over at the International Skeptics a long time ago talking to people about Bigfoot and making different threads about the psychological aspects of it, things of that nature.
Right. And which it's a good I always get worried when people start talking about the unreliability of witnesses. Because you know what they're mainly unreliable about? I mean, when people throw that out there, that is completely a skeptic talking.
Sure.
Because we never talk about the unreliability witnesses when we have a assault victim or somebody goes to court and says it was that man there, or a robbery victim that says it was that man there or that woman there. Right?
Well, that's the one thing that the skeptics will band together on, and they'll say all eyewitnesses testimony is unreliable. Well, if that's true, there are a lot of innocent people in prison right now.
Right. Better start opening up. Yeah.
Yeah. So and, you can't really, that's going too far to the extreme there. Now, there may be some that their testimony is questionable, but that's where you, as the interviewer, have to weed through that.
Right. I mean, that is their thing. They want to discredit all witnesses. And yeah, it's very common for eyewitnesses to confuse or to mix up times, yeah, distances, heights, weights. Those are all subjective assessments they're asked to make on the fly. And a lot of times they may rethink that. They may have told the police officer, well, the guy was about 6'5". And then they go to court and say, well, I think he was 6'4", because now they're in there and their thoughts are replaying this in their mind over and over and over again, sure, realizing maybe they overestimated the first time they talked,
yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
So as a trained interviewer and interrogator, you're taught very early, don't worry about the minutia of physical distance, time, weight, stuff like that. You know, even eye color, sometimes you can be mixed up because you're far away and you're looking at eyes and you're like, because they're so away, the irises may overcompensate and you may say, well, I didn't really catch their eye color, or I think they had brown eyes when they really have blue. Because in a nighttime setting, you're looking at somebody real quick, their irises might be dilated, making the blue very, very slender on the retinas. Mm-hmm. So you gotta think about that. What I have a lot of problems with people saying they perceive this or that. And that's what they're doing. What the skeptic is doing is they're just perceiving what the witness is. It's these blanket statements. Well, can you prove, right, to me how they're not reliable? Yeah. And they have no argument for that. So right, what they're doing is actually tell me how this witness is unreliable. Well, you don't have anything subjective, anything concrete to prove that subjective opinion, which is all that, right, is.
They just jump on that train, right, all eyewitnesses, right, are unreliable. Right. And the problem with that, their philosophy there is they require every eyewitness ever to say they seen a Bigfoot. They require those people to be wrong,
correct,
or lying.
And correct.
All we need, all I require is one to be right. All it takes is one that's right.
And Mick, that is 100%. If a witness says a car that hit you was green and they find out it was blue, it doesn't mean the car didn't hit you. Correct.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of other things at play when a person sees Bigfoot. And we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, why does Steve keep saying that? Does it have anything to do with his next announcement? This big announcement. Right. Because I do have a big announcement coming up in about the next 3 to 5 minutes. So, but what's the one thing is, how many times people see a bear and say, I just saw a bear? How many people see a Bigfoot and say, I just saw a Bigfoot, a moose, and they say, I just saw a moose, or a deer? They always seem to be right on the money, right? But we expect that all these Bigfoot witnesses are seeing these common animals and just misidentifying them because their perception. Well, what if Bigfoot is not in your wheelhouse? How many witnesses have we talked to, even on this show, that don't call it Bigfoot? They said, I saw this big hairy thing standing on two legs.
Right. And you know, that's another one of the skeptics tricks. They get in there and say, well, you can't say what you saw was Bigfoot.
Right.
Well, okay, yeah, that's correct. I can't say that, but it sure looks exactly like the way Bigfoot has been described by others. So I'm kind of relating those two.
Right. So
you don't know that was Bigfoot. Well, I don't know that it wasn't. But little things like that. Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is that argument doesn't play out in science. That argument that they make doesn't play out in a court. It even doesn't play out in public opinion, because obviously we've talked to people that are very detailed about their recollection of what they had seen. Right. Take, for example, police officer Brian Goslin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't know it was out there. The state police officer that was out there that took off didn't want to talk about it. Why would the state police officer take off if he had seen a bear walking through or a moose walking through, right? How does that explain multiple witnesses? Well, there are certain things called the contagion effect and stuff like that, but we will digress to that in a minute. So there's a lot of different things that goes on in a person's head. That doesn't make them unreliable.
Yeah, when you see something that's not supposed to exist, I mean, people have different reactions to that. You know, some people are just going to check out.
And Steve Curious Cryptid made a great point. Mark enough of the check boxes, and I'm fine putting it in the Bigfoot jar. Agreed. You know, is there a date, time, place? Is there, is there some corroborative evidence that they were there? Your investigation around the sighting, and does it corroborate what he's saying? If it does, you know, and it seems like a decent story and they're being truthful by using a number of tools, then you move on. So. So, and Don said, I heard Fault has a cop working on charges against the people involved with bringing his lies to the forefront. Well, yeah, I look at it this way. Really, you can have a cop working out. There's nothing criminal. You know, and lions don't worry about the bleats of sheep. Remember that. And I wouldn't too either, Don. Of course, for folks who are wondering what that is about, we did a video. Basically, he said, watch, and we talk about Vault and some of the amazing bending of the truth he does. So, you know, you watch the folks that are listening on audio, check it out on the channel. You'll understand completely.
So always tell the truth, because the truth is a powerful thing.
That's right. And when you lie, there's a lot of things that go on in your mind.
Yeah, right.
And you know how I know that?
You're responsible for weeding them out.
Or you were.
Because coming in May, this is the big announcement. Coming in May, I am just about finished writing the last few chapters in my new book, The Psychology of Bigfoot. A Guide to Understanding Bigfoot Claims. Yeah, I use them all the time, so no, we can't have a dollar jar for that. Yeah, we can't have a dollar jar every time I mention Todd Standing or
Mr. 2505 Federal. If you've watched any of my videos, 50% of the dialogue is that's my way of giving my brain time to think of something to say. Yeah.
So, Chris, here it is. What's going to be inside? This is just some of the stuff, some of the chapters in the book and some of the articles we talk about, investigation versus science, the brain, the mind's reaction, overstepping, hoaxing, Bigfoot on the brain, neurolinguistics, body language, critical thinking, the scientific method, PTSD, and much, much more. That's just touching the iceberg of some of the content. And we go into other things like Occam's razor and cognitive dissonance and a lot of other areas that will give you some evidence or some tools, rather, to use to feather out Bigfoot claims. And through that, and in this book, you'll see real-world examples of some of these concepts play out, and you will see some Bigfoot evidence play out in that. So it's not going to be a large book. It's not going to be as large as the Sasquatch playbook. I'll tell you guys right now, I'm at page 132 right now. I don't have the forward yet. Got to do that. And I still probably have two or three more chapters to write. So it's probably going to be anywhere from 150 to 175 pages when it all said and done. And I haven't added some of the graphics in it too, so that may increase the page count over that.
Well, Steve, I don't want to have any spoilers or anything, but you've got one subject there that I'm not familiar with.
What's that?
Well, it may just be the way you have it listed is different than what I've looked at, but overstepping. You talk about witnesses or hoaxers. What's that?
No, actually, I talk about people claiming expertise without realizing that there may be people above you or around you that have more. And I have to keep myself in check for that.
Right.
I got a very spirited discussion today and I made a statement that was wrong, but in a way I found out it was right because it all got to be over the argument, which is kind of moot because it's not really a tool that we use very much in the interrogation interview field anymore, because a lot of statistics have showed that it's really not that accurate. And that is which way a person looks when they talk. And people say, they were saying for years, if you look to the left,
yes,
that's deception. If you look to the right, that's accessing your memory core. The problem is with the British found in the UK, they did an experiment on that and they found people that were left-handed did it the opposite way.
Yeah. That's back to psychology for educators.
Right. And that would make sense too, because our brain functions a lot of times, are reversed. You know, our dominant side is our left, which means the right side of our brain is the areas we access to the large, you know, imaginative section. Whereas, so
the right, if the eyes go to the right, you're accessing
right.
The left brain, which I think that's the creative side. If your eyes go to the left, I think that's accessing the right lobe, and that's the reasoning side. Isn't that right?
No, the other way around. But
to look it around.
But the bottom line is what I found out is that they did research on all this, and it was all over the map. So it wasn't really all that argumentative. And this was the original premise of this was done back in 1972. And the more recent experiments prove that this has kind of been disproved. So now we look at more different things like micro expressions, brow ridge, forehead, stuff like that, body language, body positioning, neurolinguistics, how somebody talks. And finally, I think the cap on all of it is we take all of the elements, critical thinking, Occam's razor, all this stuff, and we put them together to make it an effective toolbox, not for somebody to judge somebody, because none of the stuff in psychology, none of the stuff like a polygraph will ever really determine if a person's being truthful 100% of the time or lying 100% of the time. This is a tool to use as part of your investigative process, not to judge somebody by, but to use working theories by and try to see how they run through evidentiary trials. In other words, let's take an example. We had a guy a couple of years ago get on a podcast, made some really wild claims, and people got mad at us because we accented what he did, how we could tell neurolinguistically the signs and body language wise, the signs of deception. We ended up doing that after, I mean, we did it before, but we didn't release until after he said, all right, I made the whole thing up. And you understand, looking at that body language created that dialogue to make his admission. Yeah. Right. It wasn't used to accuse him. Never was to accuse him. We weren't going to publish or, oh, he's lying. And here's the reasons why. And put, no, you need hard evidence. So when he admitted to it, okay, then. And we actually got his permission to use some of the facial features and some of the micro expressions he was exhibiting while we were questioning that line.
And we used to do Bigfoot witnesses, and we would have them on and then question them. And in that case, we've got the media hats on, you know, in that case.
Right. But here's the thing. People will use it to judge. But Let me retract. Let me kind of explain that to you. Judge how, if people use these tools and come out using them as evidence, they will get laughed off the planet. There's no thing. You need physical evidence, an admission, something that will determine that. But it can certainly drive to you to a working theory, which is kind of a judgment in that revolves. And there's examples in the book of real world examples, Bigfoot examples, where you will see the working, your working theories evolving because of evidence and body language and where it goes to from there. So
I think it's going to be helpful in, well, to the researcher and the investigator to help them understand people. And that's really important because you've got to know people. Everybody's different.
And body language, and Martin's right. Body language is just one thing. There's neurolinguistics. That's a whole other topic, how people say things, how they speak, how they, and then there's many others. I go into all of those. And it all relates to, like Bigfoot on the brain. I break that down, what that means. I explain some of the paranormal characteristics of certain people's Bigfoot sightings and how the brain may be at play there, as opposed to them just making the story up.
Right.
Because I believe a lot of them have had an experience, but there is some sort of reaction in the head that makes it go short circuit. And that's explained.
You get to a certain point where your mind can't deal with what you're seeing or what's experiencing, and it just checks out.
And Jeff, I understand you're not concerned about researchers. I'm not researching people. Well, if you interview a Bigfoot witness, these tools are very important. And if you're just searching for Bigfoot willy-nilly without looking at reports or talking to witnesses, then you're just spinning your wheels, brother. I hate to say that. You need to know where they are. And how you do that is you track the witnesses, talk to the witnesses, see if they're credible, using some of these tools in the book that will lead you to where you want to be. You don't have to accuse them of anything. You don't have to write a report on the person. But knowing these tools will give you the ability, not only in talking to a Bigfoot witness, but going to your body, going to your mechanic and him saying, oh, we need to do an engine overhaul. It can work in any of that. I'm giving you the best price available. Or I really like you for this job. Or we're kind of disappointed in your work performance. This is tools you can use, not just in this investigating it, but these are tools you could use outside to better gauge what people around you really think or may think, not really think, but may think. And from there you can test it and see if your feeling is good. One thing Chris can attest to is I've been doing this so long in my natural state because a lot of this stuff I knew, I just didn't know how to put it on paper until I learned or read or, did some follow-up. And I actually did take, the body language course recently, about a year and a half ago. It comes to me almost second nature sometimes. I always turn it on because you got to turn it on, turn it off. And a lot of times I talk to somebody, I'm not even thinking about that. But when I'm going to a specific meeting or a specific appointment where I need to look that person in the face and they're telling me I need $1,200 worth of car repairs, I can kind of get the bullshit meter up and down to see whether or not they're lying to me. And that to me. So you know what? Now I'm not going to say to him he's lying. You know what I'm going to do? Let me get a second opinion.
And
that's what happens.
Yeah, and then, Steve, after so long, you can't turn it off, Steve. You can't turn it off.
I'm pretty good at it. I don't care. Whatever. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Unfortunately, you can tell sometimes people that are in a standoffish mood almost. And I, more than ever, I can actually look at somebody across the room, but they're pissed off at something, even though they're not saying nothing. You're right. It's really hard to turn off. All right, you got me. I guess I don't turn it off, do I?
Oh, it's like practice with anything else. Once you start doing it, it becomes second nature. The next thing you know, when somebody's looking
at
you.
I will say this. I don't actively look for it when I'm conducting my day. But sometimes somebody will catch your eye and go, man, that person's really pissed for no reason at all.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Oh yeah, good boy.
I'll tell you what, the poor truck driver, when he got out of his truck, was his eyes were about this big.
Yeah.
As he was like,
he was shocked. Oh no, scared to death. Yeah. But if you go to the mall and walk around, you're gonna see, he's gonna get it when he gets home. She is mad.
And when this book comes out, you'll understand about biases and how to remove them and how to recheck yourself and stuff like that. So it's going to be really a fun book. Like I said, it'll be out in May. We got to get running. It's 10 o'clock, Chris.
Oh, wow. Already. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, this is a 1 hour deal.
So do your thing.
Again, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We're humbled and honored every time you join us. I mean, it means the world to us. And thank you guys for those gifting those memberships. I mean, that you guys are crazy. Okay. I love you. We appreciate you. Always, if it's the first time I'm watching on YouTube, hit like, subscribe, bang the notification bell. And don't forget, join us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. for Squatch DTV. Thank you guys. We appreciate you.
And of course, I love you guys too as well. Again, thanks to Lester, Don, Jay, and the Tackle Technician and Pete H for renewing your membership. Thank you guys so much for being here. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. And we'll be back this Sunday night, hoping to have Darren Lee on. He's got some family stuff going on, but hopefully we'll hear back from him within the next day or so, and we'll confirm that show and get him on. If not, we'll find something else in reserve. So trust us, we're getting really good at doing that, if anything. So but anyway, we'll catch you all Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern on Squatch DTV Live. Everybody, have a great night. We love you. Peace out.